My dear friends, today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. These words are taken from the second book of Maccabees. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, St. Philip Neri was one of the greatest saints of the 16th century, who defended the church against the errors of the Protestant Reformation. He founded a religious congregation in Rome to care for the poor and the sick, to teach catechism to the children, and to assist pastors in the work of preaching and hearing confessions. And one of St. Philip Neri's favorite devotions was to the poor souls in purgatory. He was especially inclined to pray for the repose of those souls who had been under his care during life. It seemed to him that his charity toward them should not end with their death, but should continue on until they reached the peace and happiness of heaven. On several occasions, St. Philip Neri admitted to his close friends that many of his spiritual children had appeared to him after death, and they appeared either to ask his prayers or to return him thanks for what he had done for them. these souls also told him that they had obtained many graces for him by their intercession. Now, soon after the death of this great saint, a certain Franciscan friar was praying in the church one day where the body of the saint had been laid. Suddenly, St. Philip Neri appeared in glory to this Franciscan friar. The saint shone with a brilliant light, and he was radiant with happiness. He was also surrounded by a great number of souls who were with him in glory. And when the friar asked St. Philip who these souls were, St. Philip told him that they were the souls whom his prayers had delivered from purgatory. The saint then said that these souls had come to meet him when he died, so that they, in turn, might introduce him to heaven. There is no doubt, concludes the author of the story, that on their entrance into heaven, the first favors which souls ask of our Lord are for those who have opened to them the gates of paradise. Souls delivered from purgatory, this author goes on to say, will never fail to pray for their benefactors when they see them in any necessity or danger. In misfortune, in sickness, and in accidents of all kinds, these souls will be their protectors. Finally, the author concludes, these souls will powerfully assist their benefactors to resist temptation, to practice good works, to die a Christian death, and to escape the sufferings of the next life. My dear faithful, in the Old Testament book of Maccabees, we read, "It is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins." This is proof that even before the coming of our Lord, the Jews believed in purgatory, and they believed in the ability of the living to assist the dead. This belief was confirmed in the New Testament by our Lord himself and has been solemnly defined by the Church as a dogma of our faith. Protestants, on the other hand, though they hold the Bible to be the only source of revelation, Protestants reject the teaching of purgatory because it doesn't fit in with Martin Luther's idea of salvation by faith alone. Luther taught that as long as one accepts Christ as his personal Savior, no matter how many sins remain on his soul at death, he will instantly be admitted into heaven. Of course, this teaching is false and even evil, as it will be the means by which countless souls are lost. But one might ask how Luther got around the passages of sacred scripture which refer to the existence of purgatory as a place of cleansing. And the answer is that he simply threw out those portions of the Bible which didn't agree with his teachings. And thus Luther removed the books of the Maccabees because of the clear references to purgatory. It's no wonder that Protestants cling so firmly to their Bibles as the only source of truth, since their Bibles have been edited to fit their religion. But my dear friends, purgatory does exist, and souls do go there. Souls go there to be purified through suffering, and we must help them. Thus, sacred scripture tells us that it is a holy and wholesome thought, that is, that it is a good thing to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. And from this we know not only that we are to pray for the dead, but why we are to pray for them. That they may be loosed from their sins. That is, that they may more speedily pay off the debt of temporal punishment which they owe for their sins. And what is temporal punishment? Temporal punishment is the penalty for sin, which remains even after the sin has been forgiven. In his mercy, God forgives us our sins when we are truly sorry for them. But still, because sin robs God of the honor and glory that is his due, some penalty must be paid for these sins. And this penalty is called temporal punishment to distinguish it from eternal punishment, which is suffered in hell. Temporal punishment is like a great debt that must be paid, but the poor souls can do nothing to lessen what they owe. There is nothing for them to do but to pay the debt moment by moment through patient suffering. But we can step in and help them with our prayers and sacrifices. Imagine if you owed somebody $100, and because of your poverty, you could only repay him at a rate of $1 per day. How grateful you would be if someone stepped in and paid $25 or $50 or even paid off the debt entirely for you. This is what we can do for the poor souls. This is the great act of charity that we can perform. That is, shortening their amount of suffering. And who benefits when you pray and sacrifice for the poor souls? They benefit, of course, but you benefit. You benefit by your prayers for the poor souls. Not only do you increase in spiritual merit on account of your charity, but you earn the gratitude of those souls you help. And in their gratitude, they will not forget you when they are admitted to heaven and stand before the throne of God. As we learn from St. Philip Neri, souls delivered from purgatory will never fail to pray for their benefactors. Whenever they see them in any necessity or danger, in misfortune, in sickness, and in accidents of all kinds. St. Alphonsus says that when a soul obtains deliverance through a person's prayers and good works, it incessantly prays for that person's salvation, and God will deny nothing to such a soul. My dear faithful, November, as you know, is the month of the poor souls. Resolve then to help them by your prayers and sacrifices, not only this month, but throughout the year. And to do this, I encourage you to find some specific prayer or devotion you can offer on their behalf. Many prayer books have beautiful prayers which are richly indulgenced on behalf of the poor souls. Find just one or two such prayers and resolve to pray them every day. Try to form the good habit of offering a short prayer for the poor souls whenever you pass a cemetery. And finally, never let a day go by without offering up some little trial or difficulty, no matter how small or insignificant it might seem, on behalf of the poor souls. Most especially do this, that is, pray and sacrifice for the souls of your departed loved ones. You know, death doesn't dissolve the bond which exists among family members or among friends. In fact, death raises such relationships to a higher, more spiritual plane. And there is just as great an obligation to practice charity towards our departed friends and family as there was when they lived here on earth. And they will be even more grateful now for your help than they ever were before. My dear faithful, this devotion is truly one of the most beautiful and consoling devotions of our Catholic faith. Not only do the poor souls benefit from your prayers and sacrifices, but you do as well. Truly, it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.